what we're going to do this morning. By the way, who's emotionally got to the end of the year? I feel I have. I think I got to yesterday and I thought, I'm physically okay, but emotionally, I'm done, you know. So a month before the year is done anyway. So what we're going to do, so if I'm a bit, what do you call it, staggered, laboured, you'll understand why this morning. But I think that switch has gone off. So it's nice to see you. Are you good?
Yep.
Yeah? We've got our whole tribe, youth tribe, they're away this weekend. So they get back this afternoon. Apparently they had no hot water. So you might want to stay away from them. I want to do two things before we start, or by way of a start, and that is play you a song, and you'll recognize the song straight away, and I'm not going to play it, we're going to watch it, and then I want to read out a piece of scripture, and then I want you guys to join the dots. So can Matthew, can we have that number?
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born. A time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under. Time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to weep, a time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of peace. I swear it's not too late.
Everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn.
And a time to every purpose under heaven. Every day.
proud that makes me.
Oh, Peter, such a beautiful song.
So who were those singers? Yeah, that's right. Peter Seeger, who wrote the song, the original. And who was the female?
Judy Collins.
Yeah, Judy Collins. Yeah. So, and what was the scripture that that song was based on?
Ecclesiastes
3. Yeah. So, but now I would like us to, did you like it? And it's old. But some stuff you can't beat, and that original kind of flavour and taste, it's just quite special. So if you come with me now to Acts, our very, very last, Acts 28, okay? Acts 28, and we'll pick it up finally in verse 16 when Paul gets to Rome. Finally. So I'm going to read this out, and then I want you to join the dots between the song and this text. Okay? Here it goes like this. So Acts 28 and verse 16. And when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. And when they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers and sisters, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I've asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I'm bound with this chain." And they replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to others, to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." So what connection, if any, do you make between the song that we listen to and this text? I know it's hard to establish, but it is a wonderful opportunity to talk to the person next to you again, knowing that you all love to do this so much. So could you do that? Any connections that you can even just imagine? Go to it. Hey, mate. Hello. Hello. Hi, Mike. Okay, friends, there was a lot of volume on that discussion. I mean, it's a bit vague, but I think as I begin to unravel this, you might begin to sense what the connection is. But before we go any further, oh, there's Dale. Mate, you qualified, you graduated, you passed praxis. Is that right? Yeah, well done you. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Okay, friends, let's pray. Let's pray. So, Jesus, we come to this last piece out of the book of Acts, and we have walked this book, talked this book, bounced in and out of this book for nigh on 3 years, laboured our way through this book, and now we get to this final passage. And may there be something in this passage that sings in our hearts. May there be something in this, Lord, that just, I don't know, it just impacts us, takes us into our week, sustains us, nurtures us, transforms us. We look for these kind of miracles this morning from your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we just tease this out a little bit more in your wonderful name. Amen. So, I have a question. How many days have we lived this year? How many days have been done thus far this year? What day of the year, in terms of number, are we up to? 300 and what? Tell a person next to you. Take a guess. Anybody hazard a guess? 300 and what? 333, someone? 300 and what? 335? 300 and? So, who was? We've got 333, 335, and 334. Which one of those three is it? We are on the 334th, according to my count. 334th day, yes? No, but we are on it. Yeah, that's what I said. So we are on the 334th day. And here's a temptation that all of us face. We are all tempted to believe that when it comes to any given year, that the number of days are kind of a string of days that just fill a calendar year. You know, random, we've done 334, or we're on the 334th, but they are just basically a bunch of random days that somehow fill our calendar year. What I am wanting to suggest this morning, actually, is that what happens in a calendar year is that every person here gets to live a number of seasons in each and every year. And, of course, that's what that song was about. Turning into the new seasons. So every year, each person, and this year, each one of you have lived a number of different seasons this year. And I'm not talking about winter, summer, spring, and autumn. I'm talking about other types of seasons that each of you here have lived this year. Can you think of them? Particular type of seasons. Let me give you some examples from my own life. I mean, for example, this year, when I began this year, Ruby and I were living on Helver Road. So we were living in this little house, and it was just the two of us, and it was heaven on earth. And then, I've forgotten, when was it, Cynthia, that we moved in? When was it? When did we move into the big house? Was it August? And then in August, we launched into quite a different season. And we are now living in this big house, and there's been five of us since August. Now, all of that is to change this coming week. At the very moment where I'm feeling emotionally depleted, we get three more people starting this coming month. So that is going to change everything. in our household. So we're about to embark on another completely different type of season. When you think of my wife Ruby, when she began the year this year, she was working with IOSIS, which is round on Russell Road. And as some of you know, she was the big cheese, the CEO, the boss lady. And then that season came to an end when? September. And she walked away after 17 years and is thus launched into a quite a different season. And I think it'd be fair to say that for Ruby right now, it's a season of adjustment. It's a season of transition. I mean, she's sort of got 1 foot down, but not 2 feet down. So that's the kind of season that she's in. I mean, before I mentioned my friend over here who's graduated from Praxis. Absolutely brilliant. So your season, one of your seasons has come to an end, and you're about to launch out into another type of season. I know of young Amy in this church, and she's now a school leaver, and she is leaving school, and she's about to launch into a completely different season. I mean, what seasons have you lived this year? I mean, name some good ones. You may have come into health. You may have qualified. You may have moved house. You may have moved church and come to this church. It's got to be good. I mean, what seasons, good seasons, have you lived thus far this year? And there could be a number. Tell the person next to you. Okay, guys. So a number of seasons fill our year, not simply days, but seasons. Now, sometimes with some of us in any given year, adverse circumstances, sometimes tragic circumstances can define the seasons of our year. I mean, I think of, again, my own life. I think that when I began the beginning of this year, my father was seemingly fit and healthy and so on. And yet, through the year, he had that bowel cancer scare, had to have an operation, which plunged him and he nearly died of an infection because of the operation. And I had to race down to Whanganui. I think you might have remembered that day. It was a Sunday, but he slowly came through, and now he's in a different season, and I'm in a different season with him. So sometimes adverse circumstances. Some of you know that at the beginning of this year, our daughter was to be married, and she was to be married about a month ago. She was engaged to be married, and as a wider extended whānau, a bigger family, we were just wrapped by this. And yet 3 weeks before the wedding, 3 weeks, she called the wedding off. And our daughter, she comes and she's given us permission to share this, and she shares it herself. But our daughter, our eldest daughter, comes from addiction past. And she was to marry a guy who also comes from a history of addictions. And two people who kind of get married in this situation, they need to have high trust levels. They've got to have high transparency, everything out on the table, and you've got to be able to trust each other. And unfortunately, in this circumstance, there wasn't that high transparency, that high level of honesty. And so our daughter called off the wedding 3 weeks before. And that was a very brave decision, but it was good and it was right. And so that is that adverse circumstances plunged her into quite a different season. And we had her staying at our house and other whānau who came from the United States and from Australia and throughout New Zealand. And it was not an easy time during that time. And those sort of circumstances have plunged a number of us into different types of seasons. I mean, I think of people in our family here, in our church, and with tragic circumstances, have lost dearly loved ones. And as a result of that loss, they're in quite a different season now. And, you know, with I think of Norris, who's here this morning, and of course he lost Barbara. And we think of Marilyn, who lost John. And we can name other people that we all know. And these adverse circumstances have plunged these people into quite a different season. I think of people here who have lost things in their life. You know, a lost an ability to achieve. Or what they have achieved has been lost. And opportunities to achieve now no longer come to them. I think of other people relationally here. And maybe they're in a season of aloneness because, you know, people have abandoned them. And that's what happens. Or maybe there's a sense of aloneness because of betrayal and people have turned on them. And maybe there's a sense of aloneness because of, you know, maybe some of us here are in our marriages, we were in love and now we are in hate. And we've fallen out of love. And there can be all manner of different types of seasons that can occur in a year. And then I think for some of us here, we've had seasons in our past and we've never been able to let them go. And you meet these people. And maybe all of us in a sense are like this. That there have been seasons that have kind of summed us up in the past, but we've never been able to get free of those seasons. And they still hang around us and they continue to shape and reshape who we are. Seasons from our past. I've got a list up here, and I think, Matthew, one of you could go to this. Here we have what I call seasons of struggle. And these seasons are things that may have been our reality, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but we've never been able, as I said before, to shed them. And so they continue to define us. And so, for example, that one up there on unhealthy relationships and you know, there may be some of us here this morning and you're still doing time with people who may be good people but are bad for you in this season of your life. You know, there are some people who in any given season, instead of making us, they break us. And it's not necessarily that they're bad people. It's that they're not the right people for the season we're currently in. And maybe these people are still lingering around in your life right up until the present. And it's time to let them go. The second one here is I've got up here is the being a party person. You know, this one continues to amaze me that, you know, you can get a person at school way back in those years. And they learned at school that to be popular and get attention, they had to be the party person. You know? And they've never let that identity go. And they've carried that identity into their present life. They're still the child. They're still the kind of the play boy or the play girl. And whenever they're in the company of people, they kind of act out the child. Because they think that that's the way to be the center of attention. And if that is you, it's time to mature. It's time to let go of that child identity and move into and turn into a different season. The third thing that I've got up there is addictions. And I want to say this to all of us here, myself included. Is there something that you and I do that we do a little bit too frequently and it's too important? And maybe a drink here and a drink there. And it may be a movie there and a movie there. And it may be a screen there and a screen over there. And it may be a habit. And it may be a pattern. And it may now be your personality. Is there an addiction? And it's time to move on. And you may need to talk to someone and fess up. And you may need to join a program and get healed. I mean, is that the season that you're still struggling with? And another one I've got up here is being mad at church. Could I have a show of hands on that one? Mad at church. You know, you meet people in my job, and they're people who still are carrying something from years ago that someone said to them or did something to them at a church. And in a sense, they still have a spiritual wound. And they're allowing that spiritual wound to cripple them in the present. And I say, why would you allow something that occurred 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago to rob you of something beautiful that can happen in church with you today? Surely it is time to move on. And then there is that other one there, and it's related of unforgiveness. And you know, you get people who they were maybe someone did something really terribly, terribly damaging and wrong to you in your past, and you're still shackled by it and bound by it. And you know you're becoming an embittered person. And I say, why would you allow other people to have that kind of power over you? Surely it's time to move on. Why stay in that season? And then we have up here the cynicism. And you know, you do meet people. And I don't know, they had a season in their life and they've never been able to break free of it, where they think the intellectual cool thing to do is to make jokes at other people's expense and forever to kind of be critical from the sidelines and tear things down and make snide comments. And they think that they look so clever. And actually, it's just that sin of cynicism. But they've allowed their way of being to be their way of being. And I say, surely it's time to move on and discover a positive personality, a vibrant, vital personality, where you're adding to things and not subtracting. And then, of course, you get the season up here, a season of abuse. And maybe tragically, unfortunately, there are some here, even this morning, who are suffering from verbal abuse. Or maybe emotional abuse. Or maybe relational abuse. Or maybe even physical abuse. And if that is you, you must talk with someone. And maybe you can come and talk to me, and then I can help steer you towards the appropriate people to work through that. But so many people who do suffer from abuse never get free of it. So our topic this morning is this one of seasons. Now Paul, he experienced a succession of seasons in the 1 year. I mean, it all started way back in chapter 19 in a way. But it even started back earlier than that when we started to look in the book of Acts. And he, even within the course of 1 year, he went through so many seasons. And I've got a list of them here. I don't know if they're up there, Matthew. Is that the next slide or maybe not? No, you could just block that out. In 1 year, Paul went through these seasons. A season in the courts, legal issues. In the 1 year, he also went through a season of traveling. In the 1 year, he also went through a season of danger. And he got bit by a snake. And he had a shipwreck. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. In the same year, he's now beginning to experience a new city, and that is Rome. And in this 1 year, the same year, another season, and that is the season of house arrest. So Paul has a succession of seasons in his 1 year. And you too have, and I have as well. Here is my question this morning. How do you survive the seasons? I mean, how do you survive the seasons? I mean, I started out by saying, I was sitting in the sun yesterday, and I heard myself saying, Mick, you're done emotionally. I did. I just knew it. I knew that my switches had gone off. I've finished my year emotionally. Physically, I'm still walking, but I know emotionally I'm struggling. I mean, I've just got to the end of my year. Anyone else, by the way? Oh, my goodness, not too many. So the question is, you know, what can help us not only survive the seasons, but move on? So what I want us to do now is to capture an exercise. And I'm going to ask Matthew to put it up on the overhead. I'm going to read it out once, and then you're going to do it. Okay, surviving the seasons and exercise. Number one, what season are you in? You need to name it. Could be positive, could be negative. Number two, what is God trying to teach you in this season? Do you get a niggle? Do you get a whisper? Is there a feeling? Is there a word that keeps coming up? Do you keep bumping into a phrase? Do you find a number of people are coming to you and saying the same thing? I mean, what is God trying to teach you in this season? Number three, are you fully engaged in this season? I mean, what could you do to embrace this season, good or bad, more wholeheartedly? Number four, what new season is God opening up to you? Do you get a sense of that? Can you smell it? You got a glimpse of it. The new season around the corner. You're not there yet, but you have a sense about it. And then lastly, what steps can you take to move on, to turn into the new season? Okay? So I'm going to leave that up on the board, and we're just going to have 2 or 3 minutes now where you can talk to the person next to you, you can stare at the ceiling, you can meditate quietly, but just go through those five. Okay? Go to it. Let there be talk. Let there be talk. That's great. Or you might want to do it privately and quietly. Let's take a couple of minutes on this. Okay, guys. I've got to finish with one final comment, and it goes like this, from the book of Acts. So you might like to take that into your future. It is a very good exercise. Did you like that? It is a good exercise. It's sort of like putting legs to things, walking into the future. We get to the end of the book of Acts, and I have to be honest, I felt a real feeling of disappointment. And the disappointment was this, that, you know, I was expecting a more climactic ending. You know, because the whole thing about Paul getting to Rome was that he was going to shirt front. You know that phrase? You know, to shirt front someone? Have you ever seen it on a rugby game? And if someone has scored a try and they shirt front each other, they sort of do the big chest to chest thing? No, it's called shirt front. I mean, Tony Abbott, the Prime Minister of Australia, was going to, what was he going to do? He's going to shirt front the President of Russia over the, you haven't heard that? And the phrase shirt front was actually used. And it's called this kind of thing like this. And you know, when you read the book of Acts, you kind of see Paul. And Paul says earlier on, he says, I appeal to Caesar. And we get to the end and we don't even know if he actually shirt-fronted Caesar. We're not even told whether they had the big court case. There's no sense of high court drama. It kind of all begins to fizzle out, and Paul just ends up having this kind of small group Bible study in this little house under house arrest. And I thought, you know, this is the third largest book in the New Testament. It's taken us 3 years to get through it. And then I thought, so this is all how it ends. And I thought to myself, this is no better than one of those novels that you read, you know, or one of those movies that you go to. And you get right to the end and you think, this is a lousy ending. I was expecting something, you know, with bells and, you know, the real kind of, instead of it's a fizzer. It's all sort of, you know. And I thought, and then it clicked. Oh, no, Mick. Then it clicked. Honestly, this is the feelings that I had this last week as I was thinking about this. And then it clicked. Because you see, when you think of that kind of interpretation, you know, surely, you know, what happened to Paul? Did he get to do the big court case and speak to Caesar? And then what happened to Paul? And did Paul lose his life at that point? And oh, why didn't Luke, the writer of Acts, put that at the end? And then I realized during the week, this is not about Paul. The book of Acts is not a biography of Paul. The real hero in the book of Acts is not Paul. The real hero in the book of Acts is Jesus Christ. And if you read the end of this passage that we read this morning, it's not about Paul. It is about Jesus Christ. On Thursday this last week, I just went down to Wellington for the one day, and I was asked by the Anglican Bishop of Wellington to meet with him and his leaders as an invite group. And they had but one question for me to probe with them, and that was, what is the gospel? So on Thursday morning, and I had to meet with this crew and suggest to them where I had got up to in terms of what is the gospel. And it was a two-hour discussion, but by way of introduction, I said some of the following. I said, the gospel is not an invitation to a new kind of spiritual experience. I said, the gospel is not how to realize that a person, getting a person to realize that they've broken one of the Ten Commandments. And because of that, they could suffer from God's wrath unless they did something about that. I said, that is not the gospel. The gospel is not about even getting people to see their need for a savior. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not a private experience of salvation. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not explaining to people how to be saved. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not getting people to heaven. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not on how to become a better person. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not about how to make certain spiritual religious decisions. That is not the gospel. The gospel, I said, is not about you or anybody else. None of those are the gospel. And they looked at me, and they kind of, their look was, well, what the heck is the gospel? And I went on to say, I said, look, listen, the gospel is the gospel of a son. And you read Romans chapter 1, and the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for sure there is the fruit of the gospel. And some of that fruit is some of the stuff I named. But that is the fruit of the gospel. That is not the gospel. It's the fruit of the gospel. You and I are the fruit of the gospel. But we are not the gospel. The gospel is not essentially about us. The gospel is essentially not about Paul. The gospel is essentially about Jesus Christ. And it's about his rulership. The gospel is the lordship of the one true God. The gospel is the establishment of God's rightful kingship over the world and over your life. The gospel, and we get a glimpse of this gospel, and it was established how? This gospel of the Son and his kingship, his rulership over you and the world. And it was established in his birth, and his miracles, and his teaching, and his life, and through his death, when he took on all the enemies of humanity, and his resurrection, and his ascension. The gospel is the gospel about Jesus Christ, and his kingship, and his rulership, and his sovereignty. It's all about him. It's not about you. You are not the center of the circle with Jesus revolving around you. Jesus is the center of the circle. That is the gospel. And we revolve around him. And from the center of the circle, he summons us as the king. To give our lives afresh and to give him due allegiance. Where we say, you are king, you are Lord, you are the center, you are everything, and I love you, and I will adore you, and I will choose you. That is the gospel. It's not about you. Don't make it about what happens to you. It's what happened to Jesus. That, my friends, is the gospel. And for sure, the fruit of the gospel is great. Salvation, deliverance, transformation, healing, belonging, growing, progressing. That fruit is great, and I enjoy it, and I swim in it, and I indulge it, and I want more and more and more. But that is the fruit of the gospel. It's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's what Paul does right at the end. He's talking about not himself. It's not about him. It's about the real hero, Jesus. And I personally think that there are many people in the churches of this country who need to be re-evangelized. And I said this to the Anglicans.
I said, just the Anglican Church, of course. But we're Christians have come into this and what they can get out of Jesus instead of who Jesus is. That's the gospel. And that's what we stand for. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. You're not the center of the circle. I'm sorry. Jesus is. Now, if you are willing to stand for that, I'd like you to begin to stand. And I'm going to ask the music group to come up. I'm going to end with a couple of songs about him. Not about us, about him. Okay? So if you want to stand, don't just stand if you're not willing to stand for this. Where you take yourself out of the center of the circle, and he is the center of the circle. If you're willing to stand for that, begin to stand now.